All right, guys, it is Rick, and we are on Flip with Rick. And today, we're talking all about cash buyers. And we're going to do this completely different today. I'm going to show you what gurus are actually teaching you, and I'm going to prove a point. I'm going to show you they do the opposite of what they teach you. It is the classic syndrome of don't listen to what I say, but don't watch what I do. And I'll show you how you could reverse engineer anybody who's got the slightest skills in sales to benefit you in wholesaling. Sorry about that, guys. Once again, I'm Rick Ginn. I've been wholesaling for 20 years. And today we're talking all about cash buyers. So cash buyers is a really hot subject, especially going into 2024. And let me show you what's changed with cash buyers. Because if you use the guru method of getting cash buyers, you're going to waste a ton of time. And more importantly, you're going to lose money because you can't do the techniques taught 5 or 7 years ago. Yeah, you can do some of the general ones, but the reality of it is you actually have to work with cash buyers. So many people have taught you like they're a dime a dozen, don't ever worry about them. And most of those people are in really bad shape right now. So cash buyers, you've got to understand from head to toe as a wholesaler. So let's get into it. Okay. So if you want to talk about cash buyers, the first thing that you have to understand is that stop doing it the guru way. Now, how stuff like this perpetuates is somebody had success in 2018, 19, 20, and they show you the ways. And they're actually pretty cool ways. But the reality is it's just theory. And in a market like we have today, where cash buyers are much more picky and deals don't move as fast, you actually have to create an incentive for your cash buyer to buy your deals. Here's the crazy part is, it's such common sense, guys. I've been doing this business 20 plus years. The stuff taught in the last 5 years for cash buyers is ridiculous. Now, I do attribute a big part of it to the focus on dispositions and wholesaling. I'm all about entrepreneurs. But the reality, if your focus is just on dispositions and just JVing other people's deals, and that's your only strategy, you're probably going to be in trouble wholesaling for the next few years. It's the truth, guys. He or she that finds the motivated seller controls everything. You see, there's this whole segment of market that just focused on doing dispositions. And in my opinion, however you want to make money, but a true wholesaler will do both sides. They'll go out and find the motivated seller off market properties and they will dispo them. And honestly, if I had to pick one of the two, I'd rather you get really skilled at finding motivated sellers because the dispo you can always add on. But there's this advent of, I show you how to flip 10 to 50 houses a month by just finding other people's deals. That's not working out real well right now. Why? Because I talk to you guys all the time and you say it. So what we have to do is just stop. If you are doing a guru method and you know exactly what they are, I'm going to run through them all. You've got to open up your mind and start doing stuff that actually works. Because when the market was smoking and it was a seller's market, you could pretty much do anything. But guys, that is the exception. It's never been the rule in wholesaling. And if you taught and learned that way, you're going to be stuck. So what is a cash buyer? Here's the problem, guys. Cash buyer is such a key word. Everyone's a dang cash buyer. Everybody says they're a cash buyer. People have never bought a house and don't have a nickel to their name are now bona fide cash buyers. So when somebody tells me they're a cash buyer, I don't believe them. I make them prove it. And if you do not understand the difference on how we operate for cash buyers here and how most of the gurus do, you're not going to get it. And you're probably not going to make it in wholesaling. You see, a cash buyer needs to be a real cash buyer, not somebody that took a course on how to dispo your JV deal. I don't have a problem with it. I just don't want them in my pipeline. Because they have a high failure ratio. And if it doesn't work out, they really don't care. They don't have any buy-in into your deal. Some of them make you commit everything. Some goes, listen, I find a buyer. That's great. I just don't rely on them because all they are is trying to find a wholesaler in your local market and make the spread and move it real fast. You can do that yourself. So what is a cash buyer? This is a person that actually has physical cash and has a history of buying properties for cash. That is a cash buyer. When you ask them, are you a cash buyer? And they say yes. Unfortunately, it is an automatic word, period. It's like asking somebody, how are you doing today? I'm doing great. Everything's fine. It's a standard answer. Nobody gets the truth anymore. Why would you think any different on your cash buyer? So if your cash buyers are telling you they're cash buyers and they're not cash buyers, why do they do this? Number one, most of them are wannabe wholesalers. They took a dispo course and they want to be the middleman on all deals. You see, it's a beautiful theory. Think about it. You don't have to spend any money on finding motivated sellers. You don't have to find off-market properties. You just got to find another wholesaler that put a property under contract and doesn't want to do the work on selling it. And then they expect to make a huge profit off of you. Guys, wake up. You do not need that kind of help. I get it. If you have a property under contract in a virtual market of a market you have nothing to do with, in my opinion, you're better off getting on the phone, finding the biggest, baddest wholesaler in that market and cutting a deal with them. By using these third parties that tell you they have all these cash buyers, they don't. Because the reality is, if you have 5 to 7 high quality cash buyers in your database, like real cash buyers, you're way ahead of most wholesalers. But what do we get? Too many people drag their ego into cash buyers. I've got 5,000 cash buyers. No, you don't. You got 5,000 wholesalers just reverse engineering what you're doing. So how do I decipher on who's a cash buyer? It's real simple, guys. You have to vet them. I know a lot of you are thinking, but my guru said they're a dime a dozen and I should just automate this part and make it super simple. 5 years ago, I would 100% agree with you. Today, you got no shot by doing it. You see, if you want to brag about how many cash buyers you have, you're only feeding your own ego. The truth is, when you get a deal, how fast can you move it? And I will tell you the quality of your cash buyers list. And you guys and gals, I think you can rely completely on automation and technology to do this. It'll help, but it's not going to close your cash buyers. So here's what I'm going to tell you. Here's my first rule. And this is going to be a good one, guys, because I don't think anyone's ever done a live like this. So many of you are keep using the exact same methods that the gurus who've taught. Now, I've fully admitted this worked in a hot market, a seller's market. In today's market, it's terrible in my opinion. So here's what you have to first do. Watch what the other gurus do, ignore what they say. So let's break this apart. It's going to be a lot of fun. So most gurus, let's face it, they make predominant amount of their money on coaching programs. They don't make it on real estate. I know that's a travesty of a statement. It's just the truth. So what do? They focus on this thing they call high ticket sales. You know what that means? It means you're a high ticket sale prospect. How do I know? If you're new to wholesaling and you've never done a deal before, you are at risk for absolutely being hammered by these guys and gals. How do I know this? Dude, just go on the internet. Anybody on here with the comments, tell me, have you hop on for a discovery call? Guys, it's one of the oldest tricks in the book. Think about this. A guru is telling you to automate your cash buyers list. Just fill them up, have them fill out a landing page, a squeeze page, whatever you want, and just load them in your database. And then from there, what do? Just electronically blast them. Don't have to do any work. It's perfect. And you'll get 5,000 cash buyers. You're going to get 5,000 cash buyers, but probably less than 5% of them have any money. And probably less than 1% actually even bought a property before. So look at this statement right here. I'm going to prove it to you. Watch what a guru does. Ignore what they say. And I tell you, do it with me and Zach. The reality is, if most gurus are selling a high ticket coaching program, which is you guys, by the way, and what do we call high ticket? Really anything over $2,000 to $3,000. Most of them go up to $10,000. Some go as high as 30. I know, it's absolutely nuts. So here's what I'm going to do. Without calling out gurus or doing anything, you guys can look this stuff up on the internet. Watch what they do as opposed to what they tell you what they do. And if it doesn't match, go, crap, why are you telling me to automate all this, but you're doing the exact opposite? So a high ticket sales I'm going to give you a quote. Now, I'm not going to put a name on it because it's not my words. It's their words. And here's what it says. Successful high ticket closing requires you to ditch traditional sales training and take a customer. A customer first approach. Let me read this again. This is from a guru that sells a high ticket coaching program. By the way, they sell it to all the real estate guys and gals. Successful high ticket closing requires you to ditch traditional sales training and take a customer first approach. Wait a minute. I thought I'd just send out some email blasts, do a squeeze page, and maybe an SMS text. Oh, but when they're selling a program to make money off you guys, this is their approach. See, watch what people do and ignore what they say, because most people lie about what they say. Now, let's walk through even further. I took 5 tips from a highly successful high ticket guru approach. Keep in mind, they predominantly focus on the real estate space, especially wholesaling. So tell me if this does not sound the complete opposite of what you teach you guys in the courses. Ready? Number one, focus on personalization, not automation. Oh my God, read that again. Focus on personalization, not automation. I thought you told me cash buyers are a dime a dozen. Just rip through it. Don't ever connect with them personally and make it all automated. But when they have a high ticket sales approach, and by the way, guys, what you're selling is high ticket. You're trying to make $10,000 to $20,000 per deal. Some of you a little bit less, some more. It's high ticket, buddy. You can decode this however you want. You are a high ticket salesman. You sell it to a cash buyer. You've got to create value for them. Now, if you buy a wholesale deal at the right price, this is actually pretty easy. If you buy it at the wrong price, it's literally torture. So focus on personalization, not automation. So you want me to call and vet all my cash buyers, make sure they have money, make sure they've actually bought properties before, and make sure they're ready to go. And I shouldn't just send them an automatic email and a text. But wait a minute. This is what you sell in your program here, and then this is what the students are told in the guru program at Wholesaling. You see, it's the complete freaking opposite. And I always follow the money, guys. Always follow the money. I've never taken an automation approach to my cash buyers. Number two, act as a guide, not a salesperson. I swear, I think they copied this right out of freewholesaling.com. What do I tell you guys? We are not salespeople. To be honest with you, we are the farthest thing. You can never make somebody or just convince them with one line to sell their house. The reality is you help sellers, and 9 times out of 10, whoever can help the seller the most usually buys the house. So this statement is beyond true. You are a guide. If you know all the pitfalls of what sellers usually object to, you can guide them down there. Let's face it, guys. This is usually the biggest decision of a person's life. Maybe that married and having kids, but the reality is selling a house is very stressful. So we guide them. You can't turn them 180 degrees in wholesaling. So you have to vet people and you've got to qualify them. So if you understand that, then you're guide. Have you ever gone with a good guide through a city or anything like that? It's absolutely amazing how they make the experience better. Your job is to help guide them through the emotional roller coaster of selling their property, especially in a stressful situation. That's it. Guys, I've been saying this for 20 plus years. And now I've got top gurus that sell high-ticket coaching programs saying the exact same thing. You see, why do they tell it in a program when they guess someone's going to get 5 to 10 grand? But when it comes to wholesaling, we're going to tell you to do it completely different. This next one just blows me away. You ready? It's unbelievable. Ready? Build relationships, not buyers list. Repeat that. Build relationships, not buyers list. Well, I thought everybody was a dime a dozen. You just electronically connect with them. You don't have to worry about it. If you bought a property so good and so cheap, any cash buyer on earth would take the deal. It doesn't work that way. So I've already told this. It is relationship. It doesn't mean you have to go to dinner. It doesn't mean you go on vacation, but you do have to get to know your cash buyers. How? You just vet them. You ask quality questions. We'll get into it. And then follow up. We all kind of know that. So Here's the reality, guys. You ready? Cash buyers are your customers in wholesaling. I don't know why anyone else doesn't talk about this. If you don't understand what your customers want, you don't have a business. So if you're not spending time in vetting them and finding out if they're for real and finding out what their price points in the areas they're buying in, you are just guessing in wholesaling. And I don't know who taught this crap, but they're not around anymore. I can promise you that, because if they did this in today's current market, you could be eaten alive. Guys, I see it all the time. There is a massive shift in buyers right now. They want deals and they want the truth. And if you can provide that and give them light, but here's the reality is, if you have a 5,000 list cash buyers list, the problem is about 4,800 of those people are just a waste of your time because you didn't take the steps to protect yourself. So it's crazy. So now that we know cash buyers are our customers and we understand that, here's the problem with most gurus programs, specifically in wholesaling. I can't speak outside of wholesaling because that's what I'm an expert in. But let's just talk about what gurus teach in wholesaling on cash buyers list. Honestly, it's so automated and like so redundant. You got to wonder, like, if I use the same techniques, these techniques were taught in the 60s and 70s. Now, I'm all about things that work, but we have to admit a lot of things have changed. Information flows much freely and the cash buyer has a lot more options. So, number one, the bigger cash buyer list, the better. Wait a minute. They just told you the opposite in what we call a high ticket program, which they all sell. Every guru sells them. What qualifies them? I don't know, 2 to 3K or more. That's the light side. Bigger cash buyer list, the better. It's good for your ego. And honestly, when you fulfill a big cash buyers list, it takes your guru off the hook because it gives you a false sense of security. That's why they have you do it. I'm sorry. I've had huge cash buyers lists. They're the worst ones of them all. Give me 5 to 7 quality cash buyers. Take your 5,000 list all day long. I guarantee I'll sell my deals faster and for more money and with the least amount of stress. Remember, not the richest guy in wholesaling from money-wise, but I will tell you, I am the happiest because I know how to move my business along. I know how to sell stuff. And now how to make money with any type of house that a seller is willing to sell. It's just got to work. So number one, bigger cash buyers list. We know that's not true. Number two, you got to automate your cash buyers list. It's got to be all automatic. You are too smart. You're too special. And you think you're too big for your own britches to sit there and deal with the cash buyers. This is some of the worst advice you can get. And the more you ignore your cash buyers, the worse the results you're going to get. Now, I'm all about automation, guys. But automation is used to gather information. It is never used to close any type of seller. And a lot of you are buying into the AI hype. I love AI. It's incredible what's going on. And we get data faster and we get better leads. But I do not buy into the hype where AI can call my customer and a computer can close them over the phone. Honestly, we did that. We're all out of business. We're all out of business. But use AI to collect it. Now, how do they automate? Most of them are email blasts. I'm going to be honest with you. No one's reading your emails anymore. Everything goes to garbage, goes to spam. And they're working towards like verified email. And I think in the next 3 years, you're going to see massive change in this. Honestly, if you're not approved on my email, like I don't even look at your emails. And I think most people do the same. Same thing goes for SMS blasts. Just blast them all. Well, guys, just so you know, 8 out of 10 of you that use these automation techniques, you realize you're only supposed to be selling your contracts. So the minute you give an address with a picture, you've basically violated most statutes in each state because you are not a licensed agent. And for you to sell a property, you either have to be the owner or you have to be licensed. So by you sending out these emails, especially with you with the 5,000 cash buyers list, think about this. You just gave the state and the Fed all the ammo in the world to go hunt you down. Once you start selling, remember, we're only selling a contract. We're selling our rights. Once you start going in and showing a property and doing all that stuff and you make it extremely public and 5,000 people, I promise you there's somebody in your list that is not looking out for your best interest. And if you're doing it illegally, you need to stop. By doing these email blasts and these SMS texts, 9 times out of 10, most people, 8 out of 10, I said, are breaking some sort of statute. How? Why? Because I get them all day long. We don't even do them that way in our company. All ours are by personal invite. We have permission, and then we share specific contract information. Now, in the contract, you're typically going to have the size of the house. You're going to have the address. There's stuff you can legally disclose and stuff you legally can't disclose. Most of you are acting like realtors out there. Why? Because this is how we were taught for years, and you got to stop doing it. So SMS blast, email blast, that's the automation. Now, let's talk about how to do cash buyers the right way. So what I want you to understand is everything I've showed you up to this point, and I know it's a weird comparison, but if gurus are out there selling newbies on a wholesale program, anywhere from $3,000 to $10,000, whatever the number is, it could be whatever you want, and they're giving you really bad cash buyers information like automate, don't connect with them, fill up a huge cash buyers list, and just send everything out. But when they go to close you, the one that they're going to pay you is they're going to give you completely opposite information. That's being a hypocrite. You can't do it that way. So why do you think gurus that sell you on programs, why do you think they make you call in? It's certainly not easier for them because they have a trained assassin salesperson waiting to take the call. And by the way, they're going to get about 15% of whatever you pay them. Sorry, gurus. I'm just telling the truth the way it is. And the reason is their job, their sole job is to close you. And guess what? They really don't care if it's good for you or not. It's whatever's in their personal interest, and they're going to close, and they have a right to do that. And I'm fine with it. But I'm telling you, their job is to close. And if they don't close enough people, they get fired. End of story. And then basically the person who owns the company pushes the salespeople harder and harder. Now, the reason why they do the sales is because they have a chance to talk you into it, overcome objections, and walk you down like the aisle to buy this big fat course, which you can just get the course at freewholesaling.com. But honestly, if you just want to give money away, go ahead and do it. The reality is, if their system of automation works so perfect, why do they have a salesperson closing you guys? Why? Because it freaking works. It's extremely effective. And that is the pathway to money. It is no different when dealing with cash buyers. Number one, you have to qualify them and make sure they're real, because most aren't. And then number two, you got to make sure you're in the right area at the right price range. And if you do that, when you have a contract ready to go, you don't have to have these awkward conversations like, what's an assignment of contracts? How do I do this crap? It's done. Here's the downside. It does take work. And most of you are your own salespeople. So get up the phone and call. Look at your cash buyers list right now. And if I got on the phone and we called three-way with them, if I called 25 of them, what would they say? Most of you would be horrified because you get all the negative stuff on the back end because you didn't vet them correctly. Okay. So let's talk about how to do this right. We already know how to do it the wrong way. If a guru already hires professional salespeople to deal with their prospects on the phone, why aren't you doing the same thing with your cash buyers? You don't think you can make 5, 10, 20 grand off your cash buyers? They are your high ticket sales. So instead of you being the target, switch over and put the target on the cash buyer's back. Go find the best one. And here's a real cool part. If you can get 5 in your database, I'm impressed. I guarantee I could go through 10 people's database right now. I'll struggle to find 5 high quality cash buyers. And then you guys scramble when you get a property under contract. You don't know if you have the right price. Most of you assume you overpaid for it because you don't know any better and you don't use GoForNo. And then you struggle weeks, if not months, trying to find a cash buyer. Hey, guess what? If you just do the work up front and you put in the hard work and vet them and get through the pain of it, everything's going to be easier on the back end. Have you noticed the theme with me and Zach? If you just do the hard work, it's easier on the back end. But human nature is we want to do what's easiest now and then sort it out at the back end. Well, that's how you just get frustrated and miserable. So just bite the bullet now, guys. I've always told you, if you do the... Listen, anyone who wants to sell you a program saying, why do you compete with other wholesalers? I have another way you can do it. It's so much easier. It's just a shortcut to put money in their pocket for sales and just drive you nuts and get you frustrated. That's it. There's no shortcut. And if you guys buy into this marketing crap, you're just giving your money away. So enough with that. Let's get on that. So how do we work with cash buyers the right way? Number one, we personalize the relationships. How do we do it? You actually freaking call them. Hey, how many houses have you bought in this area within the last 12 months? And do you have cash ready on hand with it? And then you can ask them for a proof of funds. It's really that simple. Remember, you have to have something to induce people in. So if you have no deals and you've never done this before, it's going to be harder up front. Welcome to wholesaling. Just means you got to make more phone calls and you got to find someone more willing to work with you. Okay. So we have to personalize a relationship. How? Just pick up the damn phone. You cannot personalize a relationship with an email or an SMS text blast. It doesn't work that way. You can use that to harvest prospects, but you're never going to be able to close them and vet them. I don't care how advanced your AI is, it ain't going to happen. Next, use automation to collect cash buyer leads. This is where you can use landing pages, squeeze pages, social media sites, scrape information, and then you can use that as an initial funnel to see if there's any interest. From that, I'm going to sort it out, and then I'm going to pick the ones we need to go through and call. And maybe you need to call them all. I don't know. I will tell you this. I ain't calling 5,000 people because that's a waste of my time. That means you're calling 5,000 wholesalers. So what's the next step? You just connect with them and vet your leads and qualify them as a cash buyer. You have to qualify to get quality. Qualify equals quality. End of story. If you don't want to do this, just admit it to yourself and go, I really don't want to do that step. It's a pain in the butt. The reality is everybody is a cash buyer. Everybody represents themselves as a cash buyer and it drives me nuts. And you guys hear it all the time. You've got to understand that going into it. So the question now is, where in the heck do I go to find cash buyers? Here's the truth. It's really simple. Here's the good news. This actually has not changed in a long time. So the first thing I'm going to do if I'm looking for a cash buyer, say I have a deal now. I'm going to go in order of importance of how you need to find it. So a lot of you get a deal under contract and then you do the cash buyers at the end of it. I get it. So now you really got to get to work. So you have to remember the first part of my presentation. Remember, it's about quality, not quantity. So what do we do? The first one, I'm going to go simply to social media groups and I'm going to scrape information anywhere where there's cash buyers. So just like if you're in Florida, just look like for Florida real estate investors and then look for cash buyers. You can use the search bar in Facebook, Instagram, all other stuff, and just start hunting. But guys, keep this in mind. Most cash buyers are not cash buyers. Most of them are lying to you. Your job is to vet them out and qualify them before you put them in your database. If you don't, you're letting spies in your business. And I can reverse engineer anyone's business, probably 80% of them that are online. Why? Because they're so busy bragging. It's just so easy to do. What's my rule? You got to lose your ego and wholesaling to be successful. Next one, go over to Further For Rent ads. I love physical signs, but you can also do the online. I know online is much more predominant. Like Rick, why am I calling the For Rent ads? Why? Because these people own properties and they're typically landlords and they're always looking for more cash flowing properties. It's really that simple. Guys, the reality is there's two types of cash buyers out there. It's your landlords, and they usually own a lot of property, and then you're going to have your fix and flippers. Fix and flippers are the dreamers, the ones that watch all the TV shows, and they have this wild vision of flipping a house and making a fortune, and they don't understand how the business runs. My favorite people to sell to, by the way, because there's never a shortage between HGTV, A&E, and everyone's showing that you can make $100,000 flip on profit on every deal. It's so easy to convince these people to buy it. Because they have no idea how to rehab a house. They've never even done one. And they think it's going to cost them 10 grand to rehab the house and it winds up being 50 grand. Honestly, if you're that stupid, I'll sell you a property all day long. 9 times out of 10, when I sell that person a property, they're usually one and done. Why? Because they didn't make any money and they didn't understand. Now, one of my favorite ways is realtors with cash buyers. And you're like, well, Rick, how the heck do I find them? They're really not that hard. One of the easiest ways, if you have a friend or somebody in the business as a realtor, buy them lunch, do something, and they can pull this report for you. And basically, you're looking for all cash sales that were represented with a realtor in the last 6 months or 12 months. You'll get that list. And here's the really cool part. It's got the realtor's name on there. It's got which brokerage they work for, and it's got their direct phone number and email. It can't get any easier than that. Now, I don't want you to go get your real estate license and pay $3,000-$4,000 in fees to get access to this list. Just ask a realtor. It's not that hard. That is the easiest way to do it. If you can do it, think of other realtors you've done business with, maybe a family friend or something like that, and start with there. Now, one of my next favorite ways to go is I like good old-fashioned auctions. And sometimes these are going to be in a little bit smaller town. So if you're in a smaller town, this can work. But there's usually one or two predominant auction companies. We have three in our area. And they always do the sales typically on Saturday. The higher end homes go on Thursday and Fridays. And they'll have one like duplex, 100 people show up. And only one person gets the deal. Only one person gets the deal. And I want you to understand this. If 100 people show up in an auction, that means there's 99 people that are disappointed. Now, I don't want you to buy the properties at auction because I think that's not a wholesaler's play. That's a realtor's play. He or she that pays the most for the property usually loses in these types of deals. So when you get these, what you want to do is market to all the cash buyers. How do you do that? Go early, stay late. Do me a favor. Do not take pictures of the auctioneer's sign-in sheet because that's stealing. And I see a lot of people do that, and you'll never be invited back, and they'll ban you. So I know people that got into that. So I love auctions. I once had the luxury of owning a duplex next door. They had an auction and I set it up perfectly. I sold my property 30 minutes after that auction, and we reopened the bidding and did the whole thing without the auctioneer. It was one of the greatest, most fulfilling things I ever had in my life. But I'm saying utilize auctions because these people give you a pulse, and these people typically overpay. And by the way, people that show up to auctions are realtors with cash buyers. Why? Because they look at the properties for them and they make an offer sight unseen, and they got 30 days to close it. How most auctions works, so you guys know, the auctioneer gets a 10% premium. So if they paid 100 grand for a property, they're basically going to pay 110. They have to leave the 10% there as their deposit, which is non-refundable, and then they got 30 days to close it. It's that simple, and I love doing them. Now, I would be remiss not to mention the good old-fashioned way to do it, which are JV deals, which is short for joint venture. Now, I'm telling you, I like JV deals. I don't think, this is my opinion, and I'm entitled to it, so I'm just going to give it to you because I've been on this earth for a long time. I believe just focusing on JV deals, meaning your job is just to try to find a buyer for them, that's not wholesaling. I'm just going to tell you like it is. Now, if you want to pick off a few of them, that's fine. And as a wholesaler, if I dominate an area, so I have multiple markets I do, everybody knows I have the best cash buyers. I get people from Arizona, California, New York, Tennessee, all the Carolinas. Why? Because I've been doing this 20 plus years. We know the cash buyers. We have a relationship with everybody. I'm not in a huge town. So when I do that, every now and then people will send me a message. There's a lot of virtual investors, and I love getting these. Say, hey, can you help me sell a house in Port St. Lucie? Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Most of you way overpay for the properties, and I got to help you unwind that deal and renegotiate it. But if I find a cash buyer for you, we work together on it. It's great. Here's what I'm not going to do, and I don't endorse for you guys to do, is go out and buy someone's course and then pretend you're the middleman in every property across America and then tell everyone you've got 5,000 cash buyers when you haven't even done your first deal yet. I think it's reckless. So that type of person will try to lock up 20, 30 deals, and their success rate is like one or two. And it screws us, the wholesalers, out because we waste time and paperwork. They lie to you up front, like, I got thousands of buyers. I've done this all over the country. And then worst of all is the seller is the one that usually gets the most antsy, because if the deal doesn't close, then they put pressure on you as the wholesaler. And that's why I don't like doing these deals nationally like this. I'm sorry. I think there's a right and a wrong way to do wholesaling. But if you're just going to be the dispo side, honestly, just go get your real estate license. It would actually be easier. I'm just being brutally honest. To think you can come in and do wholesaling without having to market and contact directly to off-market deals, to me, is ludicrous. You're better off getting your license. And then if you want to do that on top of it, just cover your butt. That's why most people that do that part of the business, they're all licensed, because eventually they're going to get caught showing a picture or a property. when in reality, us wholesalers only sell the contract. Now, one of the easiest ways to do it is really just go online. You can use listrei.com. That's basically our account with PropStream. And you can pull up and just do the cash buyers list. They make it so simple. Now, you can adjust your filters. You can draw a geographical area, which I've done with the training for you guys on that. You can select the last 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, 12 months, whatever you want to do. Remember, the smaller that window, the better quality cash buyer you're going to get. If you pull a cash buyers list from a year ago, that person might not even be in business anymore. So it's important you get the absolute right information. Now, once you get that information, you get the seller's name and info. Just go over to dmzac.com to do the skip trace. If you guys have not heard about this, man, are you missing out? At dmzac.com, we basically set up to where you get 10,000 skip traces a month. Basically, we cost you $1,500. Now it's free. And guys, this is actually quality information. We're testing it out. We're using it in our businesses right now. And I had the luxury of testing this out months before I even rolled it out to you guys. To get access to it, they have a trial membership. Check it out at dmzac.com. And then also, you have to have a subscription with it. But for what you get, I'm going to be honest with you, there's a lot in Deal Machine that is incredible. Like, I don't even know how they do it. I think it's absolutely amazing. Me and Zach have fought for this for a long time, and now we're bringing it to you, and they're not going anywhere. They're a very reputable company, and I hope more and more companies keep providing services to regular people like us. Guys, I'm a wholesaler. I'm not a guru. I'm not any of that. I just give you the truth. All gurus hate me and Zach. I'm fine with it. I don't care. Like, it's their decision. It's not my problem. I don't hate anybody. I just get tired of the old ways being taught, because it's the exact same way when I started out. So guys, it's so important that you understand everything I said here, because the main thing is you got to understand that if you're being taught by a guru how to pull the cash buyers list, you better do exactly what you preach. And if you don't, then take the warning. So if a guru is going to tell you how to pull cash buyers, and they're going to give you the same old line they've used the last 50 years, but when they sell their coaching students, they all make personal phone calls. Don't believe what they say. If it's good enough for their high ticket sales program, why wouldn't it be good enough for your cash buyers? If I'm trying to make 20, 30 grand on my cash buyers, I'm going to treat them like a high ticket sales. I'm going to cater to them. I'm going to find out what areas they're buying in, how much they buy for, and how many deals they close, and how much cash they have. And once I have that, I'm happy. So a lot of you go, hey, well, what do I say to the cash buyer when I call him? Don't complicate it. Remember, you're a guide. You're not there to sell them. You're just really there to qualify them. And go, listen, I see you on a house on 123 USA Street. Is that you? Yeah. Hey, would you be interested in other great deals that come across? I buy houses at deep discounts. Is that something you're open to? It's just that simple. And from your conversation, then you just get into qualifying. Proof of funds. How many deals have you closed? Can you give me addresses? Because guys, let's face it, most of the people you're going to talk to say they're cash buyers. They're not. They're wholesalers trying to cut it. And they bought someone's course that told them you can sell everyone's deal across the country. Why? Because it's easier in wholesaling. And I'm here to tell you, it's not. It's actually 10 times more frustrating. You're better off just doing the work with us. And that is it. So let me jump over to the comments section here. And I am solo today. So every now and then me and Zach switch, but my name's on this channel, so I got to come out. And I actually love talking to you guys. I can't answer the questions as fast when I have Zach here. So we have a lot, but he'll be back on Thursday. So I'm pulling up the comments. That's an incredible comment. So we didn't talk about that. And that's a great, great, that's why I love doing lives, because these are interactive. And guys, it is live. It is, what is it? Oh. It's the 5th of December at 1:48 p.m. Eastern time. So if you want to know. Reverse wholesaling, cater your buyers. You're right. When deals get tight and you can't make them work, you can do the reverse wholesaling. If you want to learn how to do it, go over to freewholesaling.com. That is a great way to do it. Let's see here. I'm not even going to comment on that. So I love the comments. I can't answer them all, but let's see here. What's up, Brandon? I appreciate it. MC says, I got a property under contract. We need to speak. Dude, hop on the live. Let's do it. I would love. Guys, nothing gets me more excited than talking about deals. That, to me, is the juice. I hate talking about theory. Don't get me wrong. It's important to teach. But the best way to learn wholesaling is by taking an incredible amount of action and doing it. You're going to get a result one way or the other. Either going to get a contract or you're going to get rejected. And here's the really cool part. They both work and grow you as an individual. And you need to understand that. Let's see. Okay. So join me to get more information on that, go over to freewholesaling.com. I'll put up in the link below when here, when they're there. I'm in. Yeah, I just get bored drinking water, and I just drank a terrible tasting green drink, and I just got to kind of wash it out. I was told I get more oxygen than this, but I kind of like the way it tastes, and I've close to just like removing soda from my life, but it's occasionally my after hours drink. It's better than the other stuff. So, okay, boy, you guys, tons of questions. So guys, most of this, I'm not doing an ad for them. My God. Okay. So, most of the information, if you guys want to check it out, let me put it up here. Freewholesaling.com. 95% of the questions you ask, me and Zach have taken the painful steps of recording it. It is the deepest, most thorough wholesaling course, not only in the country, in the world. And here's the really cool part. It's got 28 years experience between me and Zach. And we actually do wholesaling today. This is what we do as our primary form of living. Do I do other things? Absolutely. I've been doing this a long time. So I like to work on commercial projects. I do short-term rentals, the whole nine yards. I'm somewhat of a rookie in it, but I got a lot of them, and we're learning a lot of stuff as we go on. So it's go over to freewholesaling.com. If I can't answer your question, go over there. And the course is free, guys. Act like you paid $5,000 or $10,000, just like every other guru charges, and go to work with it. You know, 70% of the people that sign up at the course have already paid a guru. So even if you paid a guru, I'm fine with that. You can use our course as backup. And I would love you to compare the material, because I have nothing to hide. If I'm not taking money from you and I give you and I pull the covers back, but somehow I'm the mortal enemy in wholesaling because I give free stuff away. Shocker. So most people can't stomach giving away the free information because their information, maybe it's not up to par. And number two, maybe they don't do what they say. So I don't know what it is. The reality is most of them are money grabs and they're just trying to pull in money as fast as they can. But we've solved this. So you can go over to freewholesaling.com. So guys, do me a favor. Make sure that you smash that like button and you're subscribed to this channel. That's the best way you can pay me. And if you don't believe me, just go look at how many subscribers we have. It is all thanks to you guys. We'll talk later. Maybe when Zach's here, because obviously what we do works. So you guys enjoy it. And I'm having a good time doing it. And for all the guru like haters, number one, I don't hate anybody out there. I've been on this earth way too long. Number two, if you don't like what me and Zach do, why don't you change the way you operate? I'm not killing your sales. You're just using a tired old method, and things change over time. Heck, we all used to just have landlines. Now we have cell phones. You probably fought that too, but I love it. Listen, anybody who talks about us publicly, fine with it. But just make sure you're okay that we can share what your course information. Oh, that's right. We can't get your course unless we pay you for it, because then there's no ability to get a refund if we don't like what you say. See, I don't understand. Here's what I'd love to see. Every guru course, I'm talking wholesaling only, guys, put their course out there and give you 30 or 90 days to digest it. And if it works, then they can pay them. But you know, that's never going to happen because I don't think people would buy into it. So if you guys want to hop on the live, you know how to do it. I'm not going to go into the technical parts because I know Zach does that one all the time. And let's see here. What did I miss? I'm not ending the live stream. Relax. So, okay, let's jump on. Let's talk to some And some of you guys really know how to use the live stream, by the way. And I give you a hell of a lot of credit because, guys, it's just the crazy thing is I've got about a dozen people on here, about half of them I know. And actually, I'm proud of you because you use it's use it or lose it in this world. Same thing with freewholesaling.com, talking to me and Zach. Either you use it or you lose it. And I'm going to give you a perfect example here. Right, Jason? Have I talked to you before?
So many times.
Yeah. So, like, guys, I just want you to understand, like, just take advantage of it. I try to pick people a little bit, like, randomly so I don't talk to the exact same person every time. But why I like talking to Jason is he's always working on something in his head and he's always working on making progress. Now, I promise you, if you get on this thing and you just complain, I'll have more fun with you than, like, someone that doesn't complain because I already know what your problem is before. We don't even have to get in the whole song. I just get inside your head and go, do you complain about everything? Are you upset because it's sunny out today? Are you upset because it's snowing? It's like, it's so easy. And guys, I want you to use that as an example. If you constantly complain to everybody around you, they don't want to be around you, even your family members. You guys got all those family members that, like, they bitch no matter what happens. And I've learned if you put that out in the world, you're going to get it back tenfold. So what's going on, Jason? How can I help you out?
I got a property under contract on Saturday and I feel like I wasted my time.
Okay.
And I don't know if you would have done it differently. So I want your advice on whether you would have gone on this appointment in general. I want to ask this other question. It's quicker.
Okay.
Zach said yesterday in his live stream that, a KPI to keep to track is how many offers you make.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm under the impression that the amount of, I only make an offer when I go on the appointment. That's what I've been doing. And
okay.
I don't know if I'm doing that right, if that's even wise to do. You know,
okay. Offers. So you want to talk about that or you want to talk about your appointment? Which do you want to address?
Let's do the appointment. I shouldn't have said so both. Let's do the appointment. Okay. So, the guy had a health problem. I said, listen, if I come, I've been talking to him for like 2 weeks. I said, if I come, I plan on buying a house. Are you ready to go? Like if we come to price and terms, it makes sense. Can we do this? He's like, yeah, I need to go. I need to get out of here. Blah, blah, blah. I end up showing up, walk it, needs like no work, very light rehab.
Uh-huh.
His price is too high. The ARV I have is 250.
Yeah.
Some realtors are telling 250 or 275. Some realtors told me 300 to 350, but like, I don't know. And, but he told me his price. It was too high on the phone. I knew he was motivated. I decided to go.
Okay.
And then we came to price. I said, dude, I can't do 200. I got to be at like, I did the good cop, bad cop at 150. Yeah. And he was like, no, I can't break. I got to get 200. I tried breaking down why he needs 200. I couldn't really mm-hmm. get that from him. And then it got to a point where I was like, all right, I'm going to leave. And you know what? Why don't I just get it under contract and show it to the world and protect myself in the contract?
Yeah.
And I'll just show it to people. It was my, okay. I'm already here. That was my logic. And I can't seem to get it down. But I couldn't get, he was too high on price. He was motivated, but it seems like there can never be a world where the price is too high and they're motivated. It's just, to me, it's not a deal. The conventional wholesale. And okay. I guess I don't want to waste my time on other appointments like that moving forward. I don't know if you have a thought on that. Would you have gone in that appointment, I guess is my question. And
so it was local, anything? Right?
It was an hour away.
So there's two things I'm pretty affirmative on. Mm-hmm. Is when I do that upfront agreement, you can't gloss through it. You go, listen, I'm going to be coming over there. They don't care how far you're coming. So I never say it, even if it's 2 hours. Mm-hmm. I need a definitive yes or no. And then I'm also already kind of playing around with the price. If it's like, I just got to close a $10,000 to $20,000 gap. I'm not like, I know I'm getting a deal. It's when I have to close $100,000 or like 200.
Mm-hmm.
You got to weigh if it's worth, like sometimes. It's like a, dude, I've been on this earth for a while. And so I'm gonna give you a comparison. Like, so you like steak, right? Who doesn't
like steak? Yeah, I love steak.
So 54 years on this earth, you learn a couple tricks with steak over time. And what I've learned is seasoning a steak 4 hours or 6 hours or 8 hours before you put it on the grill does so much magic work to the meat that you can't, because the seasoning, the salt and the pepper, it does stuff to the meat. Like I'm not a chef. I can tell you it is night and day when I prepare the steaks either the night before or like early in the day.
Mm-hmm.
People are no different. Sometimes you have to like season. I know this is terrible, but they have to be massaged in season.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you go for the kill, sometimes there's a time to swing the bat. And if it doesn't work, you just kind of move on because the damage will be done. Mm-hmm. So if they're not close enough with the price and say they're an hour or 2 hour away, I might have to wait a week or two to try to season that meat before I go see it. The only way you learn that is over time and experience.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be honest, my first 2 years, I went on every appointment I humanly possibly can. Mm-hmm. I was a human realtor because I didn't know any better. I wanted to close everybody. And then I learned over time. Here's another big qualifying factor. Was the house motivated? Do you know what I mean by that?
Little bit of work. 15K max.
You could have a motivated seller or a motivated house. The mm-hmm. rarer of the two is the motivated seller.
Mm-hmm.
And every now and then you have a motivated house with an unreasonable seller. They mm-hmm. need to like sit in the freezer for a while. Then you've got to like massage and tenderize the meat. They take a long time. Now, when the property's motivated, meaning it just looks like crap and they have to sell because they're like the power's going to be shut off. They're going to knock it down. It just takes a little bit more time. But if I can get that price within, say, 5 to 7% of where I need to be on the target,
mm-hmm.
I'm all in. When it's like 30, 40, it's a tough one. Mm-hmm. And so you can do some trial closes over the phone and do like some range, like ranges.
Mm-hmm.
But mm-hmm. listen, I already told you, if you take an action, which you take a risk whenever you meet with, it just doesn't matter. You take a risk when you date someone, when you call someone, you're going to get an outcome one way or the other. Either you're going to get a contract or you're going to get an experience, and you learn, and that's how you kind of set your rules and going forward. So it's not no until they move you off your list. So mm-hmm. if he's stuck on a price and you can't get to the truth of the matter why he needs to get there, then it's just price. So here's the lesson. He's solely focused on price. He used you a little bit
mm-hmm.
and just kind of move on with it. And then I would just mm-hmm. send the guy a text or something once, maybe every 30 or 90 days. And if that property, so is he putting the property on the market or what's his story?
He's not. I have it under contract now.
So what do you have it under contract for?
$200,000.
And what's the ARV on it?
I have it $250,000 to $275,000 and okay. It's like max. I could fix this thing for like $5,000 and everyone would be, it needs like a fall cleanup on the outside.
Get out there and just see if you can make it work. It might be a good deal.
Like, yeah.
Here's my problem, guys. I don't want you to be wholesalers. We just stick everything under contract and you're like, whatever. You knew what you need to get under price for, but I'm fine the way you're doing with it. Just find out as fast as you can. Don't leave this guy under contract for like a month
because
mm-hmm. these guys can be difficult.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to disappoint sellers. Our job is to sell it. But now we got to, he's playing a little bit of games with the price with you. So now you got to go back and find someone that wants a deal. Depends on the area and depends on the demand. And a lot of it is timing. It's crazy, guys. I've had deals just like this. I put under contract. I have it sold in a week. And I've had other times I've taken 3 months. I can't even get a buyer and I got to get out of the contract. Why? It's just timing sometimes. It's just, there's a bunch of properties on the market or the cash buyers have fallen off the face of the earth. You're going to have to go out and find it. The only good news is you're still in that price point where it's attractive.
Mm-hmm.
Once you start getting like the 350s, fours, people like got to pay attention because it's hard. So I think you're fine, dude. I think you're overanalyzing it. And I'd rather you go than go, because I got the opposite problem with other people. They wait for the perfect appointment. It doesn't exist, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody just gives you a house away. I think I've had it happen maybe a dozen times in my career. I've been doing this 21 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it is the freak case. You just look for opportunity and some hints of motivation. And then you have to evaluate. If I have to get in a car and drive, somebody the other day was talking about driving 7 hours. Like I wouldn't do it. I treat the thing 100% as virtual. So 2 hour, hour and a half, that's about my limit, like on like a local market where you're going to drive. So just follow up. And then the only thing I would have done differently is just kind of get his range. But you went on it, it might work out. So I wouldn't discount it right off the bat. I love that you know you need to get it cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
So many people put on a contract 200 thinking they're making 75 grand right off the bat, and they're just wasting their time. So figure it out as fast as you can, hopefully this weekend, and get it in and out.
Yeah.
And that at least gives you a chance. So if you get somebody on the hook at like 205,
mm-hmm.
you still have time now to go back and play for a discount. Now, mm-hmm. here's my rules on asking for a discount. When people push me to their max limit, I'm going to push back. Mm-hmm. If you give me a smoking deal, I will never ask you for a discount. Mm-hmm. I just don't think it's right. I think God put you in front of my lap, made it easy. I'm going to make it easy on you. If you want to sit here and like waste my time and keep jacking it up, fine. I'll have your property inspected and I will tell you your roof's bad. I'll tell you your AC's bad and we'll walk all the way through it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to pay for an inspector, guys. I don't do that.
Right.
My cash buyers do it. So get on it right away and I think you're fine. I think you have a shot. So a lot of times it's so bad you can't even write a contract. On the second one, you said tracking your offers. It is important because we're in a society where a lot of you wholesalers just make a lot of verbal offers and you never back them up.
Mm-hmm.
So here's a little trick I learned more as a seasoned investor is when we met with a seller, either virtually or locally, and you know they're hemming and hawing or whatever, and then we do another phone call within 24 hours and then 48 and 72 hours. After that time, if there's no action, we just send them an offer. Super simple. Mm. And by the way, it's not really even an offer because it takes two parties to execute it. So you're not really obligated. So you could send a one or two page offer like we do, put a cover sheet on it, and you can stick it on the door. You can mail it. It's really cheap. Here's why I like it. Here's what's really cool. It works with it. Sometimes you speak to the husband and he's not the decision maker in the family. There's a lot of ladies that run the households. And she goes, listen, I told you you need to get this piece of crap sold. He sent you an offer. Why aren't we signing it? And then the wife will call you and she's like, okay, let's meet. Let's get the deal done. And so sometimes people visually look at offers and they're like, oh my God, they're serious about it. Now, on 10% of those deals, you will get a call back on them. Doesn't mean you're getting a deal, but you're catching that one person. Sometimes there's couples that run the family and only one side got to hear the offer and the other side didn't know it was even existing. That's how you kind of run them under the bus.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you got to lose at this point, right? And you're going to put your lower offer on paper anyways, but I use it as a marketing tool for them to call me back. The problem is eventually you got to start backing these things up with offers because that's how people do take you seriously. I don't like to leave open offers out there. And when I send an offer, I give them 72 hours to respond. Why? I'm just looking for them to call me back. That's it. And if they can call me back, I have a conversation. And sometimes the wife goes, okay, if you can do like 192, I'll go ahead. I go, listen, I do 192. I'm going to come over and we need to get it signed now, or we need to get on DocuSign and get the whole thing done.
Mm-hmm.
So, does that make sense to you?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But
the problem is if you never write an offer, it mentally starts to wear on you. You got to sometimes people put stuff in, you ever hear people go, well, put it in writing and I know you're serious.
Yeah.
No different. So I use that to usually get the hold of somebody in the family that maybe we'll make a different decision. It is somewhat of a crapshoot, but dude, it works. It's actually how I created the ROS postcard thing because everything gets an offer. And that's the reason people call us on our postcards. Guys, go to Mailing Mastery if you want to learn how to do it. It's really cool. So people like when you put an offer on it, just to understand, people like they take it very personable. Mm-hmm. And they'll usually want to call you back and go, why did you make this offer? And here's a hint. If you're writing offers, use odd numbers. So even if you were going to offer, say, 190, offer $191,467.23. Why? Because they don't understand how you – they want to know, how did you come up with that number? And I simply go, listen, I just gave you the most I could. Is that something we can discuss? And we just kind of go from there. So that's what Zach means about like making offers.
Okay.
I talked to someone the other day. I haven't written an offer in 6 months. I'm like, you haven't gotten one in front of one motivated seller or anything. Like, I go, why don't you try to write an offer and see if they'll take you seriously? So, and some of you guys are younger. Like, they don't take you seriously. I know that. Mm-hmm. I went through this with Zach and a lot of you were going through it. How do they take you seriously? Put it in writing. And guys, I'm talking about simple offer. And here's the catch. You don't have to sign it, or you can put, and then if you have a 30-day inspection period, then heck, sign it. Who cares? Mm-hmm. Once they sign it, then that's your ticket to set an appointment to meet with them. Okay.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I'll be back with another question.
Okay.
Thank you. Awesome. I appreciate your time.
Okay. See you. Oh boy. Okay. Let's see. Okay. I got. Okay. DeAndre, you there?
Oh yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Well, yeah, man. What's going on?
Yeah, everything's good. Yeah, so I have a pretty simple question here. I switched markets. I was in Augusta, but I switched it to a different one, and I think it's better. I'm not gonna say the one, but yeah. So I've been using DM Zach, and it's been amazing. Right now I have a contract under lock, but the buyer he wants me to pay. What was it again? Closing costs to the buyer's agent for him. And I want to know, how would I write that in the contract so it gets taken out of my assignment? Like,
So are you doing an assignment, a contract?
Yeah.
You can just spell it out in there.
Oh, like,
Literally make a line item. The buyer's agent will receive, you know, whatever it is, $3,500 from the assign, I have to look at the contract. I'm not from the assignee's, side of the, from the assignee's side of the, of their fee. You just got to spell it out there. As long as you tell the title company and you put it in there, hell, you can even, like, I've even wrote it on the bottom, on the second page of the assignment. You can put a little asterisk and you can just spell it out in there. Okay. The other way you can do it is you can sign a buyer's agent commission agreement, and it says you agree to pay, because they're a licensed agent, you can pay them a commission. It doesn't matter. So if you're okay with it and the numbers work out, just spell it out. It actually makes it easier for everybody. Hmm. And then just keep them. And then what they'll do is they can pay them on the HUD. Most realtors don't want you paying them out of their pocket, because whenever I try to get money from a realtor after the fact, I never see them again. So they would feel more comfortable if you put it on the HUD. And it actually lowers your tax liability too, because it gets really messy in accounting when you pay them out of pocket.
Okay.
So just listen, I'm just simplify this. You can make a line item number on it, or just write the damn thing on the bottom and point it to the agent. Now, I assume you're okay with this and you're making enough money to cover that fee.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. So if you are, then highlight it, make it like, hey, absolutely, I want to be 100% above board. And then share it with your title company and make sure your buyer and their agent is okay with it. And they usually should support the entire contract for you. Really easy.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay. Oh, also, yeah, what else?
Thank you for the DMs. I'm not joking, like, because I work a full-time job.
Yeah.
It is a lifesaver. I'm not joking. Like, because it took me like so long to like get like 50 skip traces or something. I'd usually do it like if I'm watching something or listening to music. Now it's just I have everything there, and it's much easier. That's how I got this these two contracts right now. So I just want to say thank you for that.
Yeah, guys, it's absolutely, that whole DM Zach thing, it's really cool. It's on the bottom of your screen. I'm just telling you, we use the crap out of it in our company. Everybody I work with, all my partners, everybody, we do it. Why? Because finally we have a software company that listens what the masses want. And they're probably, you guys, do you know how much money all these companies have been making off skip tracing off you guys, especially me? Like, they're all freaking out right now. Like, what do we do? Mm. Guys, with a membership with them, it's basically pretty much unlimited. It's unreal. And I felt so bad for you guys using truepeoplesearch.com and cyberbackgroundchecks.com. You can still use them. But for what you pay and what you get, $79, and you get pretty much unlimited. Guys, most of you could give up your Starbucks coffee, give up one or two gifts, and you would be well on your way. So I'm glad to hear it, man. I'm glad it's working out for you.
Thank you so much.
Okay, man. I'll see you. Okay. Who's up next? Let's spin the wheel here. Michael, what's going on, man?
Hey, Rick, how you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Good, good. Just following up with you guys. I know I send you guys a deal at support with Rick.com.
I'm actually, I got it up on my screen, and I got, I think, one more interview to do, and then I'm going to sit down and actually Zach's come over to the office, and we're going to go through everything. So Tuesday's our go through every deal day. So if it's in there, I will, I promise you, I will respond to you. I promise.
Appreciate it. And what was the question I had? When working with realtors, what would be something to ensure that we are, you know, us as wholesalers are paid? Because I have something currently with the realtor, and I want to make sure, this is my first time working with her.
Yeah.
And I make sure that I at least protect myself. Or
so what what capacity is she working with you in? A buyer's agent, a like seller, or what?
Yeah, so basically I found a buyer for one of her properties, one of my kind of cash buyers. He's wanting to, we have an appointment tomorrow. Well, he has an appointment tomorrow to go look at the property that she has. It's a pocket listing, so it's not on market. But yeah, so she, he's pretty much going to, I mean, they cash buy. Mm-hmm. I mean, if he likes it, if they like it, it meets all their criteria. So it's all about, like, if they like it in person, they'll pretty much buy it. Now, you know, I don't have it under contract because it's hers, but I'm bringing the buyer. So I would like,
you have a unique situation here because it's an off market property and she's controlling basically the listing. But, is this somebody, you know, or someone you've recently,
I kind of just kind of cold called, looking to see if she had any investors looking to buy one of my other properties I have coming up.
Yeah.
And it kind of, we just kind of got to talking, and she shared some addresses, and then it kind of fit one of my cash buyers. And I was like,
So let me ask you this. Has she proposed any way to compensate you in this? And are you licensed in any manner in real estate?
She has.
Okay, let's hear it.
She said when she works with wholesalers, normally that we split the commission.
Okay.
That's, I forgot the percentage. I was going to clarify after he had the walkthrough if he made the offer. But in your experience, what would be the best route to?
I mean, I'm just gonna be honest with you. That's a terrible way to do it. Like, really? 'Cause everybody makes less money doing that. So, and number two, legally you can't do that. Like, and number three, the realtor's hands are tied because they legally can't even pay you. Like, it's challenging how they're gonna pay you because it's gonna look like a commission no matter what they do. So. Is the realtor, is she open-minded, like, to how you operate your business?
I perceive that. I have to verify, but what do you think? How do you think I should go?
Here's the challenge. A realtor is bound by their ethical duties, okay? Their position is supposed to always be a fiduciary responsible to their seller. You've got to understand, some of them take that duty very seriously and some of them don't give a crap. So we all know that. Like, your moral compass is, if you're a human being, no organization is going to make you do one thing over another unless there's a severe penalty. So in the perfect world, how much do you think the property is worth?
Around 150.
And how much do you think your cash buyer would pay for it? What's your guess?
140 and 150.
Okay.
They don't want to go higher than 160. They had it on. They were going to market it at 179.
Yeah.
On the market, but off market, they're going to. She said the seller would probably take 149. So.
So here's what. So the realtor told you that, right?
Yeah.
So guys, this is the benefit of working with a realtor with an off-market property. So there's two ways to work with them. Number one, you precondition your realtors. When you have a problem property, call me and I'll make you an offer and I'll make it simple and I'll make sure you get your full commission. The other way is when they got a tired old listing, sometimes 6 months to a year, then they're just desperate for an offer. So this one's kind of a precondition one. Here's the really cool part, guys. Realtors know exactly the lowest number their sellers will take. They already know it. They already know it. So say your buyer buys it at 150, right? And say she gets a 5% commission total, 4 or 5%. That's $7,500. You divide it by two, you're going to get around $3,600, $3,700. Okay. So what if they showed you a way? What if you could buy it for like 135? By the way, she knows what the bottom line number your client will take. Times $4,000. What I would try to do is put it under contract and have a talk with her and find out. She already knows what her seller will take for the least amount. So listen, if I make you a cash offer at 130 and pay your full commission, is that something you're open? The only way you can get paid in this is you have to have some sort of equitable interest in it. And without a license, you're kind of stuck. You can't record a lien that's fraudulent in this case. So the idea is there's going to be, say there's a $20,000 spread. You guys are talking about splitting $3,750. You're kind of wasting. That's like peanut money.
Right.
So all you got to do is pay her a higher percentage, right? But you have to have an intermediary contract to make that work. If she goes straight to your end investor, you legally can't get paid. I'm just telling you, in the eyes of the law, you have problems. And if you try to do anything tricky, you're at risk. So if you put in a contract, say at 135, and say this sells at 155, there's $20,000. So instead of her getting $3,750, just give her more and facilitate the transaction. Now, she might say, well, I'm kind of screwing my seller. Listen, nobody forces a seller to take an offer. You understand that?
Yeah.
When you start splitting commissions and stuff, you're not really wholesaling, you're paying realtor, and yeah, you can get in trouble doing it. So even if she says, hey, listen, the least they'll take is 140, you could put it under contract and assign it, and hopefully you get 155 minus off the fees. Everybody still makes more money. Find a path where she doesn't break her ethical commitment, and only she knows that. And find a way where she can make more than $3,750, and I think she'd be fine with how you work with it.
So basically, you think I should reach out to her, tell her, or send her a contract to purchase agreement.
Yeah.
For possibly, okay. So let's say my buyer wants to buy it at 145, right?
Uh-huh.
Like, should I lock it up for that price? Or my question to you is, I lock it up at that price or lower and treat it like a regular wholesale deal?
Well, you try to get it lower and see, well, listen, what's the least amount you could take? And just tell her, listen, give me 2 weeks. I think I can get it sold. And then when I sell it again to that, just make up the difference for her on her commission. And she'll be fine. The biggest problem is you need permission from the realtor. And if you don't get permission, you have to lie and do stuff. And it's annoying. So just be upfront with it.
Okay. And so you think I can basically just tell her straight up, like, hey, let me assign this to my cash buyer.
You don't even have to go into the assignment. Just say, listen, I want to put it under contract. I have a really quality buyer that usually takes over my contracts. And if I can't get this done in 10 days, you can sell it for whatever you want. There's no damage done.
Got it.
And I go, basically the way we're doing this, and if I can do that, then you can, instead of giving her $3,700, maybe you give her $6,000 or $7,000. See, you got to talk to their pocketbook. Once you talk to someone's pocketbook, it works. So talk to her. She knows what the seller wants. This is the key to doing any off-market deal with a with a seller's agent. It works. Just talk to them. Guys, you're better off being truthful and telling them the truth than to try all these like tricks and stuff behind the scenes. That's it. Like, the seller's never going to, and then she's going to have to facilitate your walkthrough anyway. So yeah. I would double her commission, but that's just me.
Okay. And you're talking about double a commission after, like, quote unquote split, right?
Well, I mean, you do the numbers. So if there was $15,000 profit in total in there, you got room to pay her more than $3,700.
Right.
Remember, she's the one that's going to make it work or not. So you have to have her consent. So you might as well get it up front and be on, like, just be brutally honest. I don't go into the words assignment and stuff like that because they go, because here's the risk. If she goes, well, what's an assignment? You're going to be in trouble. Just listen, I put it into contracts. I have cash buyers that work with me on it. And if I can get more for it, I can pay you more commissions. Is that something you're willing to work with me on? The problem is the other way, I get it. But unless you have a license, you legally can't get money from her, and her broker is going to stop you from doing it. I got about a dozen people out there that owe me money right now, and the brokers go, you're not licensed. I can't pay you. I'm like, okay, we can hide about. You can't sue. You can't do anything because you have no leverage. So talk to her. Have a conversation with her. Give it a shot. And worst case scenario, you'll send the buyer straight to her, and she'd take you out to a nice dinner or something.
All right.
Okay?
Okay.
Okay. See you. So, guys, if somebody makes a comment on here, hey, Rick, do you hate someone? I don't hate anybody. Because I have differences of opinions of other gurus and stuff, you should value that. If we all just agree with each other, go, yeah, we'll all do it. That's why I don't, like, do these big group coaching because, honestly, there's a lot of programs I don't agree with. Like, and I'm not going to endorse it. And, honestly, most people have a problem because I'm not out there selling millions of dollars in courses. And it hurts their business. And so I don't have the problem. But I'm going to tell you right now, you don't need any fancy software. And as beginner wholesalers, you're absolutely insane to buy a software that you think can sell everything for you. These things aren't going to last, guys. They're all fads. And they're all sold to the high-end. The reason is they're all sold the high-end gurus, just so you know, they get the programs for free. And then they're obligated to go out there and endorse it. And they get 25%. Do the math, guys. These programs never last. And I only work with software companies that have wholesalers in the company that do wholesaling. I promise you, any software company that doesn't have a wholesaler running it, like at least as part of the development of it, they'll never keep up with the times. Everyone who's offered me a product, I can tell right away if you've never wholesaled. And that's just my opinion on it. So, okay, let's... I don't hate anyone. You shouldn't hate anyone. Life's too short. I don't wish that on anyone. I don't want anyone to suffer. But like, at what point, when can we not have like a difference of opinion? And by the way, those of you guys out there make your little nicknames. I think it's hysterical. It's so cute. You guys talk about me and Zach. If you can't figure it out your own, just call us or go over to freewholesaling.com. We'll show you how to do it. I promise you. So the reason why I don't go on most other people's shows is because most people don't agree with what I do. Why? Because me and Zach do the complete opposite of what every other guru does out there. We give you all our information and we have you get your first deal, get you your first 100 grand. And then if you want to do Flip with Rick Plus, it's an add-on. It's never a requirement. And I still do these lives for free. So anybody that rags on me and Zach, it's your problem, dude. And honestly, when you get on your own show and you talk about me and Zach, I think it's hysterical. Like, you don't get how marketing works. That's probably why your social media suffers so bad. But don't make me digress on this. So I don't hate anyone though, dude. I hope everybody gets along and does it. But I'm just telling you guys, you don't need a paid software to like sell your deals. Honestly, most high-end gurus don't even need it. The only reason they endorse it to you is because they're part of the posse, because they get it for free and they want you to pay for it. I think that's ridiculous. So that's just the story on that. So, okay. Rudy says, I've altered his mind. Did MLS deals and now I feel, well, listen, there are some deals on MLS, but it's, to me, it's torture, but I never had it. Okay, guys. Let me do this. Let's see here. Who am I missing here? Let's take another one here. And I think I got all the questions. I just feel like answering questions today. We don't sponsor no ads on here, guys. Listen, the stuff I show you guys on like my screen stuff, it's all stuff I believe in and I've used in my business. And Flip with Rick Plus, just so you know, it's just an extension. You get more time with me and Zach. We do a group event where we support each other and help each other out. But I don't think stuff should cost $10,000 to be able to connect with me. And honestly, price me against anyone else, I guarantee you, I crush everybody out there. And if you look at what you get, what you pay for, and by the way, me and Zach are the only ones that I know that offer a free way into every one of our programs, but you got to put the work in, man. I just don't let it. I'm all about charity, but like there is a limit to it. So Let's do it. Vincent, long time no speak.
What's going on, Rick?
What's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm great. How you been?
I'm alive, dude. So nothing can be better. I don't hate anybody. Like, you got to understand, you can, at some point in society, we have to understand you can have disagreements with people, but still be on their side. And for some way, everything's like, you got to be on this. You got to be on this team. You got to do that. You got to think this way, your politics. I don't care. Do you never hear me talk about politics? Because I think politicians are like, it's a joke. I think most gurus, I just wish everybody would change the way they do stuff. But if you guys want to make me to be out the villain, God bless your soul. If you want to talk about me on all your social media channels, I love it, because it means you have nothing. You're so struggling in value. You got to pull it off me and Zach. And I think it's just crazy.
Everybody not meant to make it to that point.
It is. And I'm okay. Listen, at the level I get to, if you don't have a certain amount of haters, but like, there's some people who have too much time on their hand, but that's fine. You're wasting your own time. You're going to waste mine. So what's going on, man? What can I help you out with?
Well, first of all, I want to let you know, man, you're truly an inspiration, man. You keep me going on my worst days. And I'm going to be honest with you, wholesaling honestly made me a better person. So this is a beautiful thing.
Yeah, and think of all the change you're going to do as you add on to it. Like,
exactly.
A lot of you guys don't know. Most people know in the Flip with Rick Plus, I go in the detail of, like, once I found wholesaling and I figured out how to make money, and then I figured out how to keep money, the generational wealth challenge, like, it's unbelievable what happened. And you make decisions and you start wondering, like, why do I put this in my body? Why do I eat this? Why am I not more present with my family? And you push everything to the extreme limit. And it's a very powerful thing you can do. Plus, keep in mind, with wholesaling, I think being a Dolphins fan my entire life trained me, because we haven't won a Super Bowl since 72. And I sit there every year and I go back. And I'm like, everyone's like, oh, you have such a soft schedule this year, man. I'm scared to death. But I got to tell you, man, the Miami Dolphins have figured out how to be entertaining, which they haven't been entertaining in 30 years. Like, and they're just fun to watch with Tyreek and them doing all the end zone dances. I just love it, dude. Like, honestly, if they don't win, like, I still just love it. But I'm telling you, dude, I think God brought me the Dolphins to condition me. Sometimes you just have to wait for stuff. And I tell you, the Dolphins win the Super Bowl, we're going to have a hell of a show. Like, we're all going to fly out like 20 people and go to the Super Bowl and have a blast, do something like that. I promise you this, and you can hold me to this. If the Dolphins go to the Super Bowl, me and Zach will be there. But, and guys, I've been watching Dolphins like since the day I was born. So it's not, I'm like we've been through some really bad times. The only person I think has ever got it worse than the Dolphins is probably the Jets. I do feel for Jets fans, even though they're one of our biggest rivals. So, okay, go ahead.
The Browns.
Yeah, the Browns too, but the Browns have had a few shots. But the Jets, man, they never get it, ever. If you thought Aaron Rodgers was going to solve everything, I mean, you got to be kidding me, right? He would have done better, but there's no way, man. So it's like, me and Zach, if you ever have kids or like a buddy, like me and Zach have watched every game since we were like, since he was a little kid. So it's like, now he's a grown man. It's still, it's like, hey dad, you coming over to watch the game? I'm like, it's cool, man. It's like, and you got to do stuff outside of work. Like, I'm not just 100% wholesaling. And sometimes I got to pull Zach off. I'm like, let's just go and enjoy the game, you know, do whatever you want to do. So
that's real.
What's going on, man?
So it's a couple of things. First of all, when you're dealing with certain sellers with personalities, as in, I feel like I don't really want to answer all these questions, or you get, or how do they say? I feel like you're interrogating me. I'm just trying to figure, can you buy this house?
Give me an example.
So I had a lady. I was trying to get her a lot in Orlando, and she's like, "Oh, I don't feel like answering all these questions right now. Really, it's just about the price."
She's telling you everything you need to know.
And then it was another person.
Listen to me, Vincent. Sometimes you have to let people reveal who they are. And it's their right to do it. But like, sometimes they save you time. If they're 100% price focused, you have zero shot. Zero. And if you can't penetrate past that, then it is. But if all the signs are there, it's been on the market 6 months.
Well, just my thing is, they want to ask you questions. But then when it's time for you to ask your questions, it's like, oh, why are you asking me all these questions?
So Vincent, it is a, this is the part of the guiding journey. So like, I'll be honest with you. I don't want people to feel like they're interrogating me, but you just, so one of the things I always teach is like the volley method. When they start interrogating you, mm-hmm. you got to find a way to kind of flip it around with them mm-hmm. and just ask some qualifying questions. But it can't be, if it's like sitting in a police station, which if you ever had that luxury, it ain't fun. It's just like, it's like, they don't play with you. It's like, where were you on Saturday at 2 a.m.?
Right.
Like, and so like people start to sweat and feel the lights on it. So you got to find a way. Listen, I'm not going to tell you anything you don't already know. You got to find a way to have a conversation. If you can't have a conversation with them, you just don't get anywhere. So every now and then when people get so number one, you have to find a way to control the conversation. So when you get an aggressive person, typically males, just give me the price. Just give me the price. I don't have time for this. You got to find a way to break it up or you have zero shot. So if you give the price, you might as well just go work at McDonald's and ask if you want a number 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5, or 6, because that's all you're doing. And honestly, if they hang up on you, then so be it. So when they attack you on a price, they take control. If you cannot take control back, just get off the phone because it's never going to work. Mm. But you can't do it and be so obvious about it and go, listen, hey, Mr. Seller, I appreciate it. And I know I want to get to the bottom line number, but let me ask you this. Have you ever bought a car and not test driven it? Well, no, I obviously do that. I go, okay, well, you can't ask me to do the same. If you just answer some simple questions for me, I'll get to know a little bit about your property. I'll give you the best price possible. Is that fair? Otherwise, you're going to get a lowball number from me.
Yeah, and she got and I feel like I did a good job at that. The part I messed up on was she asked me, "Are you buying this lot?" And then I didn't say yes.
When you put it under contract, you're the person that's legally in control of it. So like getting into who's going to buy it and all that other stuff. Remember, sellers are much more educated now. So like they're asking a lot more questions. Mm-hmm. But you guys got to keep it simple. I'm a cash buyer. I'm looking to buy a property in this area. What are you going to do with it? I don't know. It just depends on like, it depends on if we can do an agreement or not. I'm just seeing if it's even a possibility. Mind if I ask you a few questions about it? You got to get them to open up. Yes, no answers are the kiss of death in wholesaling. You will never get anywhere with it. And if you can't get them to expand answers and let you give control, then move on, find someone else that will let you do it. I've never bought a house from someone that jerked me all over the phone. And sometimes change of heart and like times and conditions need to change.
That's real.
When you get that super aggressive, like New Yorker on the phone, not knocking on New Yorkers, but that's... let's go Jersey.
It's funny that they're from Jersey. That's
hilarious. Yeah, you got it. Like that's how they operate. It's just if you talk to their family, that's how they are. So you got to find a way to compliment them yet have them comply. If they don't comply, you just take it to MLS. It'd be easier.
Yep. Okay.
And that's all you can do. Like I'm not 100% successful. Zach's definitely not.
Right.
You got to just kind of play with people and just, remember, you just have to overcome objections and keep volleying the conversation back and forth. The best way you can do it, guys, is just practice it. Just practice it with people. Do it with your friends every now and then when they can't answer something. Go, listen, I know you don't know what you want to eat, but if you did, where would we be going? People just give you an answer out of frustration because they're tired of like hearing you spin it on them. Mm-hmm. It's no different with sellers. But guys, if you don't have control of the seller, you will never get anything done with the conversation. And there are certain people out there that's all they care about it. And I don't do very well with them with wholesaling.
Okay. My last question, I have a property on the contract now. Oh, it's a lot. It's another lot. Uh-huh. I sent it around to my buyers and even my title company. And I'm kind of like 5 to 10,000 off.
Okay.
The thing I got messed up on, I didn't know it was a certain area in Orlando. And I was comparing it to a lot that's on the other side of Orlando, like 2 miles away.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to figure out, one, how should I come to the seller? And it seemed like this lady really trusted me, man. Like I built a rapport.
Yeah.
I got, like, she really like feels like I can do this. How do I come to her and say, hey, we need a price deduction. How can we move forward and still get this done?
Do you have it under contract right now?
Yeah.
How much of a reduction do you need?
I would say it just depends on what I want to make. If I put it, bring down 10, I can make like 8,000. If I only bring down 5, I only make like 3.
Just come up with a reason for the reduction. I know it's harder on a vacant piece of land, correct?
Mm. Well, what I'm hearing is the builders are saying that it's going to, for that area, it's going to take a lot more to get something done. Some explanation the builders been telling me about the reason why they can't pay so much for that property in that area. Yeah.
Just tell her, listen, based on the cost to get that lot ready for my builder to build on there, I have to get a reduction because I didn't really like, it's just costing more than we thought. So just be open to her. And then you have to play sometimes takeaway from people. And she starts haggling with you. I simply go, where do you want me to send the cancellation over? And see if she reaches. And she goes, well, wait a minute, Vincent. Wait a minute. Well, can we save this deal? Then you have a great shot of getting a reduction. Now, if the price is a huge, like a $50,000 reduction, I just go straight to, where do I send the cancellation over? Just start with your simple explanation and ask. And then if she keeps going on and on, do the takeaway and see if she'll follow you.
Okay.
It's painful. You can always go back to her, but you have to test people, guys.
Yeah.
You do not know what's going on in people's head. She might want to desperately sell that property. And she's like, fine, just get it done.
Okay.
So give it a shot.
Okay. Okay? Thanks, man.
Okay. Awesome. So guys, I'm going to jump on the Flip with Rick Plus. If you guys want more information, I put it on the bottom of your screen. We carry this over. We have a way you can get in there by just doing a JV deal with us. And we have a ton of people in there, but we have a nominal fee that you can join our program and get access, I think 4 times plus a week. Plus we do 2 live events per year. This next month, we're going to be announcing where the second event's going to be. The other one's always in Florida. Guys, 2 live events, and then you get 4 additional live streams, and they're private. And the idea is we answer your questions, and we have a great community of people to support you. If you want to do that, check that out. I'll be on there. And those in Flip with Rick, I'll see you there. Guys, make sure you smash that like button. Make sure you subscribe to this channel. I will be back on Thursday with me and Zach with a juicy topic. You don't want to miss it. I love you guys all. Go out and get your cash buyers and make sure you vet them. I'll see you guys soon. Later.